Now, I sometimes wish that the teaching of parables was banned in Sunday school. Now, that might seem an extreme view, so let me just explain why. The problem with parables being taught in Sunday school leaves children and big children, because every child tends to become an adult, with two problems in their thinking. Number one, they think, oh, parables, they're nice stories for children, but I don't really need them for myself. That's the first problem. And the second problem is this. We think we understand them. Because after all, if it's a child's story for the age of 5 or 6, we've probably got it all sorted by the age of 7, and we don't need to spend much more time thinking about them. But that's certainly not how Matthew understood parables as he presents his gospel. Because what do we see in Matthew's gospel? We see this is a carefully constructed gospel in 5 clear sections, and this begins the 3rd major section. Now, we saw together, after the introductory section of the birth narratives and the baptism and temptation, the first major section starts in chapter 5, the first discourse or teaching section. Jesus has great words of authority, Matthew 5-7, which he then backs by great works of authority, Matthew 8-9. Well, having launched his ministry, we go to the second section. What do we find in Matthew 10? Jesus gets his 12 disciples around and he sends them out. The messengers are sent, and what do they see? Well, Jesus and them, they see that the message is opposed. So we've seen the ministry launched, the message has gone out, and the message has been opposed. And how does Jesus respond in this situation? Well, he responds with the 3rd major teaching section in Matthew's gospel. He responds by moving to parables. And what we see in this 3rd major section in Matthew's gospel is the parables and the polarization. There is a polarization as people are moved to more extreme positions in the way that they respond. And Jesus has chosen this teaching method deliberately. Let's just see where he is in verse 1, Matthew chapter 13. He went out of the house and sat down beside the sea. Most probably it's in Capernaum, his base on the edge of Lake Galilee. Great crowds gathered around him. And so obviously too many to be able to hear him. He's in the teaching position of a rabbi sitting. And so he gets in a boat and sits down. And the size of the fishing boats, we've probably got at least some of his disciples with him, possibly all of them with him. So you have this kind of picture of Jesus. He's out from the shore in the boat. And obviously sound travels it's so well over water, as you know, when you go down to the sea here. And you listen to people's, what they assume are quiet conversations out on the water. And you listen in and hear them clearly. The sound's traveling into this crowd at the marketplace at Capernaum on the edge of the shore. It says that they're on the beach, they're standing, he's sitting in this position of teaching authority. These parables are given in the hearing of all, but not all heard. This is not because Jesus did not give the explanation to all of them. We know that some parables, as we'll see with the parable of the sower, he gives the explanation particularly to his disciples. But that's certainly not the case for most of them, as we see recorded in Matthew and Luke. Jesus is expecting people to understand. So what is the issue about understanding parables? Well, we find it there in Jesus' words in verse 9. It says, he who has ears, let him hear. And what's he saying? If you are spiritually receptive, you will understand. But if you are not spiritually receptive, you will not understand. You see, this is not just Jesus being a good sermon illustrator. Because his parables do something more. Those who are not spiritually receptive, he is deliberately concealing the truth from. Let me say that again. Those who are not spiritually receptive, he is deliberately concealing the truth from. Jesus is not walking into trouble. He's got Pharisees and others wanting to catch him out. So he's a bit like someone, if someone came to us in the open air preaching today and wanted to try and trap us by saying certain things about biblical sexuality, we just don't have to go and say exactly what they want us to say and be trapped. Jesus is speaking in an extremely powerful way. For those who are spiritually receptive, these truths will be driven home. But those who are not spiritually receptive, they will be concealed. So let's see this morning, as we look through this passage, and I'm particularly looking at verses 10 to 17, because the parable of the sower we'll see explained next week. We'll see what it says about people's ears and their eyes. So this receptiveness is about our ears and our eyes. So we'll see, first of all, an open ear of those who embrace the Saviour. Then we'll see a closed ear of those who embrace the scenery. And thirdly, we'll see a changed ear of those who embrace the spotlight. Well, then let's start off with those who've got an open ear, those who have got ears to hear. We'll see these people in verses 10 and 11. They're his disciples. They've got ears to hear in the most part. 11 of them have anyway. They came to him and they said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" We've got this distinction between the us of the disciples and the them. The us who want to listen and the them who, in a large part, are blind and deaf. And what was the distinctive thing about his people? Well, he said in verse 11, Jesus answered them, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." Now remember that phrase, the kingdom of heaven, has been the launch pad of both John's ministry in Matthew 3 verse 1 and Jesus' ministry in Matthew 4 verse 17. John came preaching, "The kingdom of God is near, repent." Jesus came preaching, "The kingdom of God is near, repent." What does it mean for the kingdom of God to be near? It meant the king had come. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God consists of every person where the king reigns in their hearts. So if you're a believer today, you're in the kingdom of God because Jesus is king in your heart. If you're an unbeliever today, you are outside the kingdom of God because you're saying, "I will not have that man reign over my heart." Jesus is speaking to his disciples, those with an open ear, because they've heard his message and they've embraced him as king over their hearts. But Jesus stresses to the disciples, it's not just because you're really clever. This is about grace. What does Jesus say in verse 11 about the open ear? "To you it has been given." It has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. It's not natural. Jesus, in his grace, has opened their ears to receive it. He's saying it's not about you being amazing. And that's true of every believer. It's not because we've got amazing insight, naturally. It's because God has opened our ears. And it's also something more fantastic about grace. The grace keeps coming. Do you see that in verse 11? "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance." There's a wonderful thing about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe here you can remember, the first time I understood the gospel, I thought, I see it now. I understand what Christ did. And then you start reading your Bible, and you say, "Oh, and I see more." And then you read your Bible again, and you say, "I see more." And the years go on, and you see more and more and more. That's the purpose of Christ for his disciples. They will have, and they will have in an abundance. And they'll have something very precious. Now, you may have in your Bible translation in front of you, it might talk about the mystery of the kingdom of heaven or the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. It's often translated mystery because the Greek word is mysterion, and people just think, well, that sounds like mystery, let's stick in mystery. But today, that could be slightly confusing. So, if you said to me this morning, "Let me tell you a secret." Now, I presume if you're saying that to me, that means you've got some level of trust in me. Because you wouldn't be saying, "Let me tell you a secret," if you didn't trust the person. And that's the point about these secrets or mysteries. They're things which are revealed to those who are trusted. And Jesus trusts his disciples because they love him as their king. And therefore, he gives them the secrets. They're not mysteries in the sense that they're mysterious and difficult to understand. The point here is that it comes not by insight, but revelation. It's not things that the disciples could kind of figure out for themselves. It's that Jesus is saying, right, you're now in the kingdom of God. Now let me explain more. It doesn't depend on us and our cleverness. It depends on God and his grace. And he said, I've given you an open ear. Now listen. And now look for me. And as we come and see the parables together over the next few weeks, we will see as if the watermark of the Saviour is on each of the parables for those who've got ears to hear. And they'll just see the parable and they'll see the Saviour. They've got ears to hear and they'll be able to embrace the Saviour. And this is an immense privilege. If you look down at verse 16 and 17, see how blessed these disciples are. Look at what those verses say. Blessed are your ears, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Can you imagine those Old Testament prophets? You remember Isaiah speaking about the suffering servant and him looking forward. And it said in 2 Peter, it says they looked forward and worked out what kind of manner of time it was. How would it work with the Messiah coming? They had all these kind of pictures from the Old Testament. They knew there was the seed to reverse the curse. They knew there was a great prophet. They knew there was a great priest. They knew there was a great king. But they didn't know how it worked. And finally, the disciples were being shown picture after picture that is pointing to exactly how this prophet, priest, and king will operate. And they have these vivid images of the parables stored in their minds. And you say, well, look, Isaiah would have given anything to be sat at Jesus' feet listening. He'd have given anything. That's what he longed to see. You know what it says there? They longed to see what you see and did not see. They longed to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So when we read the parables, we could think this. Any Old Testament saint would have given anything to be able to understand these things, to be able to hear these things. So today, to have all these parables in Scripture is an amazing privilege. And particularly for those who have an open ear to understand and embrace the Saviour. But as we've been saying, that's only half the story. There's a wonderful number of pictures for those with an open ear. But there's also a point for those with a closed ear. The parables are not just there to unveil Christ and reveal him. They're there to veil him and conceal him for those who are not interested. And the closed ear we'll see now is one which really just embraces the scenery, embraces the pictures. You know, you'll see it in many places. Well, someone will tell a lovely story of a parable. You'll see them in picture books. And people who are not interested in the Christian message are very happy for people to read nice stories about a good Samaritan. They're happy to read some of the stories about the feasts. Sometimes they miss out the closing scene, which seems a bit extreme. But most of the things about the feast are happy for them to read about. And they take the attitude of someone like C.T. Studd. Some of you might know C.T. Studd, a great cricketer who was converted. And he said he often used to read tracts, you know, little Christian leaflets. And Christian leaflets often start with a nice story. So he'd read the story, and then he'd think, the spiritual bit's coming now, and he'd close it, and he'd put it down. And that's what he used to do before he was converted. And that is the characteristic of a closed ear. You like the story, you like the scenery, but there's a problem. You are outside of the kingdom. You haven't embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as king over your hearts. Just think for a minute about what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was outside the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus straight up? He says, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Now, sometimes we think, well, if I could kind of figure out what Jesus was like, and then I would embrace him, then I'd be born again. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, you need to be changed by me before you can understand the gospel. You need to be changed from the inside out. The new birth comes before repentance. It's when we are given eyes to see, ears to hear, that the gospel can get in. Now, obviously, those things go on almost simultaneously in many cases. So it's no wonder that we're not always sure when we become a Christian. But at the time someone becomes a Christian, they think, I've seen it. I've suddenly understood it. And then looking back, they realized, God, he opened my eyes. He allowed me to see. Suddenly, I've heard the gospel many, many, many times. C.T. Studd picked up many, many tracts. And then one day, someone came to him and buttonholed him and said, what about you? God opened his eyes and he opened to understand. He opened his ears that he might understand the gospel. You see, these people, these outsiders, have got a partial grasp. Think about the Pharisees. Did they get the parables? They got enough to know Jesus was speaking against them. They heard Jesus' voice. They knew enough to be antagonized, but they didn't really understand, let alone listen. It's a bit like someone seeing a lovely present. You know, you kind of see the present and you think, oh, that's nice wrapping paper. That didn't come from Wilkinson's. That's a lovely ribbon on there. Oh, that's they've gone to some trouble, and it wasn't me wrapping that present. It must have been someone else with some adept. For me, it would be Heather, because it's neatly folded, and doesn't that look nice? But never actually unwrapping it and seeing what's inside. That's what people are like on the outside. They can see, but they can't see. They're just seeing the scenery. And therefore, look at what Jesus says in verse 12. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And what they're saying is, if you're resisting the teaching of the parables, the real teaching, well, you're just going to be going further and further and further down the line of the wrong teaching. If you're just studying the scenery, if you're just studying the outside of the present and looking at the wrapping paper and the ribbon and you're commenting on that, you're going to be miles away from actually thinking about the gift. You're going to be clueless. You're going to be getting confused and more confused. And that's what happens when the unbeliever hears these parables, when they've got a hard heart. They miss the point. It won't take root in them. And therefore, Jesus applies a prophecy of Isaiah to people who are rebellious. And he says, God is going to confirm you in your rebellion. You will indeed hear, he says, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. Why? For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their eyes they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and I would heal them. Unfeeling hearts. They don't want to know. They don't want to know that they're sinners. Eyes that can't see. They don't want to read the truth in the scripture. And it's almost like with their eyes, they've got the shutters down. And they say, I just don't want to know. And so what are we seeing in these parables? The very parables where God unpacks the truth, where Christ shows himself to those with an open ear and open eyes, he conceals himself to those whose hearts are hard, and he just uses the parables to confirm them and to shut them out more. Now you might say that's strong teaching. Well, that's the teaching of Isaiah. That's the teaching of Christ. But let's think about this. Was it possible to move from the crowd to the boat? Did Jesus just have a fixed number of disciples, the 11 who believed, and all the crowd, they were going to be hardened? Or was it possible for people to be converted and have their eyes opened and their ears unstopped? Well, yes, it was. And so let's think now, finally, about the changed ear. We've thought about the open ear and the closed ear. There's the extremes. That's what the parables do. They serve to push people towards the extremes. But the changed ear embraces the spotlight. And I want us to think about the parables now, not just as Jesus speaking them, but about them written as scripture. How does God describe scripture in Hebrews? He describes scripture, the word of God, as sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing to the point of joints and marrow, soul and spirit. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's like being put on God's dissecting table and our hearts are cut open and every single thought is exposed. Now the problem often, if not always, for the unbeliever, and ask yourself this morning, if you're someone who says, well, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian. You're honest with yourself. We often like to make God's word and God's truth the object of our scrutiny. We like to put ourselves above the Bible and we leaf through it and we say, well, if I'm convinced, I'm the one in charge here. I want to scrutinize this and I want to see whether there's anything I can accept. We read the scriptures. But the scriptures are not just there for us to read. The scriptures should read us. It's not just we scrutinize them, but they scrutinize us. And it's as if, as we read the parables, God's word acts as an X-ray across our hearts. It's a spotlight. It reveals our sin. And the closed ear but shutters down and says, I don't want to know about my sin. Don't tell me about that. But when the ear is changed, when the heart is changed, it embraces the spotlight. It says, thank you, God, for in your words, having the kindness to be honest about what I'm like. Thank you, God, for in your word, having the honesty to spotlight my sin. This is very, very painful. It's not nice. But unless we allow the word of God, and particularly the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, to act as a spotlight on our hearts, to read us, to read our thoughts and the intents of our hearts, unless we allow them to do that, we won't get the benefit of them, of being pointed to the Savior. So I want you to reflect on this morning. Where should this leave us as we think about this together? Well, let's think about this, first of all, from a perspective of a believer. Now, maybe you've got friends and family, and you would dearly love them to be saved. You pray for them often. And you think, well, how come I've brought them up and I've taught them these things and I've shown them these things and they just don't seem to get it. I mean, you think about those people on the shoreline. I mean, if anyone could teach, surely the Lord Jesus Christ could teach. After all, everyone keeps saying he's the master teacher. Who could come up with these parables? Right at people's level, making great points. If anyone could teach for conversion, surely the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of his ministry, at this stage, we see the 11 disciples with Judas in the boat, and then we end up with 120 in an upper room. Doesn't sound very successful teaching at that stage. And so we shouldn't be despondent, however much we long and desire and pray for those we dearly love to be saved. We have to be faithful in teaching them and praying for them, but we plead with God that he would open their ears, that he would give them sight, and that he would call them to himself. You know, the catechism is very helpful at this point. It says that effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit. What does he do? He convinces people of their sin and misery. He shows them themselves. He enlightens their mind with a knowledge of the truth. And then he persuades and enables them to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as he's offered to them in the gospel. So we should be praying earnestly all the more, saying, you are the one who can open eyes and unstop ears. Although it's right to be deeply concerned for the lost, We shouldn't be despondent if we're thinking it's all down to me and my failure and what I haven't done right, because I'm sure we can all find failures in what we've done. But he is the one who has that power to open eyes, to unstop ears. And that's what we need to really, really pray for. But maybe there's some other people here this morning. And you might be like the crowds. Think about those crowds for a minute. What would it be like for some of them on the day of judgment? They had sat, or stood, I should say, on the shoreline, and they'd seen and heard the Lord Jesus Christ explain the gospel. Can you imagine? On the day of judgment, God turning around to them and saying, I sent my son. You saw him in the flesh. I mean, some people today say, well, if God would appear to me in the flesh, I'd believe in him. Well, Matthew 13 says, I doubt it. And what about you? What about if you're someone who has heard the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaimed to you again and again and again? There's a great warning here. Look down at verse 12. The one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away. What a tragedy. If you're constantly hearing the word of God, that opportunity will not keep coming forever. And as Jesus explains this, this is a warning that if you put your shutters down, if you put your finger in your ears metaphorically, the word of God will not keep coming forever. One day, God will just say, the ears have grown dull. That's it. Opportunity over. And therefore, what should you do this morning? If you're like that, if you're saying, well, yeah, I do realize that I'm in danger. I'm in real danger this morning. I have not responded to the word of God that I've heard preached. I haven't embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as King over my heart. What do you need to do? Well, you need to allow the spotlight to hit you. It's going to be painful. If you were dissected without anesthetic, it wouldn't be nice. But that's what we need. Each one of us needs the spotlight to come on us, to shine into our hearts and see all of the sin. And then that we might turn, having let the word of God read us, show us our sin, come to our Savior who says, let me rule in your life. Embrace my word, hear the truth, and the truth will set you free. Remember that verse we were just reading earlier on? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we were seeing that the family of God is an open invitation to join by adoption. Anyone can come in and be adopted into that family if they will just respond to the gospel. So let me plead with you this morning. Don't be one of those with a closed ear, with a hard heart. Let him read your heart. Let the spotlight come over you. And then you will be able to see with those with an open eye and an open ear the wonderful watermark of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory, in all of his richness, in the parables. Don't worry about those around who don't understand. There will be those. This is quite plain. In fact, it could suggest they could be even the majority. Don't worry about those who don't understand. You worry about your heart, your eyes, your ears, and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who came to die so that you could be forgiven. And it offers, if you'll take him to rule in your heart, to be king in your heart, to be part of that family, and heading for that wonderful kingdom consummation, the end of time, everyone under his rule, all of his people enjoying glory forever. Amen.